Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Drasha Deconstructed. I'm your host, Rabbi Yitzi Ganak.
Together with Rabbi Scott Hoberman.
And Rabbi Ariel Schreier.
And this week, we are studying together Parshas Bamidbar. This week, Parshas Bamidbar will also be the day before Shavuos, as we celebrate 3 days of Shavuos here outside the land of Israel. And those who are celebrating inside the land of Israel, it will be 2 days of Shavuos, one of Shabbos and one of Shavuos. Let's get down to business. Today's drasha source will be presented by Rabbi Ariel Schreier and Rabbi Hoberman. Do we know exactly what's going to happen?
We have no idea what he's even going to share with us.
We don't know. We're excited to hear your source and to together construct and deconstruct.
Thank you very much for your assistance in advance. So Parshas Bimidbar Sinai takes place in the desert. The Jews are still traveling for the 40 years of the desert, and they're counted yet again. And they're split up into the Degolim, the different camps. And amongst that is the separate count of the Levium. And then at the very, very end of the parashat, in the fourth parak, parak Dalet, Pasuk Yud Ches, all the way in the Maftir, the Pasuk tells us, Al tachritzu es shevet mishpachosach ka'asim mitoch ha-Levium. Don't cut down, don't cause the Levium to be killed. So the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabba, the Medrash Rabba, picks up already on this killing of the Levium and asks, what exactly is going on? What's happening here?
Because obviously Moshe's not killing any Levium.
Yeah, I don't think we think anyone is going to kill the Levium, but there's something the Levium are doing, perhaps, that are causing their own death. So it's actually, Bamidbar comes right after we've had the whole Sefer Vayikra, so we might have forgotten what just happened, but we just built the Mishkan. Sefer Vayikra told us about the day-to-day service, what happens in the Mishkan, but now the Mishkan was just built and the Levium are about to be given their jobs of transporting and building and constructing the Mishkan. So the Medrash tells us, what was the concern here that the Levium would be killed? Mibnei shayu yodin, because they realized, shekol mi shetoin ba'aron, anyone who deals with the Aron, who carries the Aron, scharo meruba, he has great reward. Vayumanichen es ha-shulchan v'ha-menorah v'ha-mizbechos v'chulan ratzin la'aron litol schar. So just imagine the image that the Levium there are a little bit, you know, it's okay, everyone get to your positions, grab your kelim, and all the Levium run straight for the Aron, because they want to get the great reward of carrying the Aron. And what happens is, umitokach, hayunogin bekalas rosh, vayishach hashchina pogas v'hem. And the Shechina would be upset, HaKadosh Baruch would be upset, because it's disrespectful and an affront to all of the other kelim, the shulchan, the menorah, that you're mistreating, that are being treated in the wrong way.
In that Medrash that you just quoted, it says that it's an affront to the other Kalim, or that's your interpretation of the Medrash?
That's what my interpretation of the Medrash. But it does say, V'hayu manichen es ha-shulchan, v'ha-menorah v'ha-mizbechos. So these are left aside.
I see. So it's kalas rosh, it's disrespect to the other utensils of the mikdash, that only the Aron was desirable and everything else was just left on the side.
And then just the Medrash says that's perhaps the lead-in that the next Parsha, Parshas Naso, gives exact assignments for which Levium to carry which specific kelim in the Mishkan to fix this issue of Al tachrisu eshevet mishpachosa ki'asi, don't cause a murder in the family of Levi.
What would be the murder again?
God would get upset and it would be causing of death.
I was imagining they were going to get competitive about it.
Not like the Mishnah of Masechet Yuma, where the Kohanim fought about who can do Trumas Hadeshen, which the truth is it's very similar. It's people running and fighting in order to do a specific mitzvah in a way that was beyond and inappropriate, and actually both of them led to injury, right? The Mishnah says in Masechet Yuma that somebody was pushed off the mizbeach and broke a bone because they were the Kohanim were fighting who got to do the mitzvah of taking off the ashes from the mizbeach. Okay, so this is a very interesting medrash, a very interesting source. I'm glad you found this. And what do you think? How would you develop this into a drasha?
So I think we think about the different roles and different requirements there are in our religious obligation and the different obligations that we have. So there are sometimes that there are things that we value that we think are our most important objective. Like, this is what we have to do, and it doesn't really matter about anyone else. It doesn't matter about all of our other obligations. So the same way that the Medrash here is warning us, and the Torah here is warning us that that could cause destruction, that could lead to bad things, we have to make sure in our own personal lives that we don't focus too much on what we view as the most essential or what we're most excited about, and therefore disrespect and disregard our other obligations.
Mm. It's kind of like the question of who are they serving? Are they serving Hashem by transporting his kelim? Or are they serving themselves, right? The Medrash begins because they knew Shahayu Yodim Shishar Muruba Ma'od. Since the Levium knew that there was a lot of reward, so they therefore just focused on the reward and not on the avoda, not on the service. Reminds me of the mission of the first parak of Avos, right? You know what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, right? Don't be like a servant who serves the master for the reward. Maybe the reason is because if you serve your master, meaning Hashem, just for the reward, so it ends up being a disservice. If you're doing it for the reward, you're not serving Hashem. You're serving yourself. You know what it reminds me of? You know the story of Yisrael Salanter and the fish? And maybe it's not about Yisrael Salanter. They tell the story about a lot of people. So Yisrael Salanter was once traveling on the way, and he stopped at an inn. And Yisrael Salanter and another guest were at this small home. And the innkeeper was serving dinner. And for dinner, they had fish. It was probably like herring or something. You know, what were they eating in the 19th century already? And like, it wasn't like breaded tilapia. It was herring, maybe cream sauce. And the Yisrael Salanter and this other person are in the inn, and they're eating their fish. And the guest turns to Yisrael Salanter and says, you know, I really love fish. And Yisrael Salanter is floored. He's like, you don't love fish. If you loved the fish, you wouldn't be eating it. You would take it, save it, put it in a tank, give it food, protect it, not salting it and scarfing it down. You don't love fish. You love yourself. So the same thing might be playing out over here. We have to serve Hashem for Hashem, not for us. And there are ramifications of that. Like, one thing that means is that, you know, not everybody can carry the aron. There are other things, there are other jobs that need to get done. And we have to have a broader perspective. And you have to see that. You have to see that there's a lot of important work. And sometimes it means you carry the ark. And sometimes it means you carry the menorah. And sometimes it means, you know, you clear the rocks out of the path so that other people can walk.
Right. I'm thinking of like just like a message in life of being balanced in your religious life, but also in like the rest of your life, a balanced diet. Your people who work out, if you just work out your biceps and you neglect your triceps,
you can't
so
just,
you'll pull a muscle, like you'll get hurt.
Right. And you can't just eat protein, even if you're trying to build muscle mass. If you only drink protein drinks, that's not going to be good for your long-term health.
When you think of like a sports team, like there's a player on the team who maybe takes more shots than the other players, but everybody has a role to play. If the guy who's a role player on the team starts shooting too much, so that it hurts the team, right. Everybody has to know their role.
You can't only have quarterbacks on the team.
Yeah, definitely not. If the running back starts throwing passes, you're in trouble.
So we're hearing something about seeing bigger pictures with a vision towards value. Right, the value here is, what did Hashem ask for me? What did Hashem want? Hashem wants that his aron is carried from place to place, not just that you're close to the aron.
So I actually got to this source from the 20th chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim, where he's talking about the attribute of chassidus.
Wow, I don't know if I've ever gotten to the 20th chapter
exactly.
of Mesilas Yesharim.
I actually got it. I saw it quoted by Rabbi Yisachar Friend, so I can't take credit for getting all the way to the 20th chapter of Mesilas Yesharim.
They say that's what made Rabbi Friend into Rabbi Friend, that he got all the way to the 20th chapter.
I hear that.
And Rabbi Shrier got that far in Rabbi Friend.
Right. Big
tzaddik. So there he's talking about the attribute of chassidus, and he terms this, which I like the term a lot, mishkal ha-chassidus, weighing piety, is that, you know, there are a lot of good choices that we can make in life, and we might even think one might be the aron, might be the most important and most critical and something that has to be done, But while we're focusing on that, we have to have this mishkal, we have to have this weight and this balanced view. I like that word a lot, of, you know, seeing the whole field, seeing the wider picture, seeing everything in front of us, and being able to choose the proper things.
Right. We also often know that, you know, a chumrah is maybe de kula. Being strict about one thing is really a leniency in other things. Sometimes, you know, if you have when I was in yeshiva, so one of the things that people used to talk about is the roommate who wakes up really, really early. So right now, I think waking up really early is like 5:30, 5 o'clock. But like back then, I thought if you were waking up 7 o'clock, that was really early. So there's, you know, there's the roommate who wants to get up early so that they can go learn a little bit before davening. They wake up, you know, 6:30, and they and so they're being machmir, they're growing, they want to strive, but they're doing it by trampling on other people, right? They're waking up the rest of the room in order, all their bunkmates, all their roommates, so that they can get there early. And that's a shekel. That's this balance. How is there a way that it can be done? Is it a conversation that has to be had? But it certainly has to be a broader perspective, because we're not in it to serve ourselves. We're in it to serve a higher purpose. That higher purpose, part of that is Torah, but part of that is caring for the people around you. Like Rusal Salanter again, I think he used to say that another person's gashmius is your ruchnius. Taking care of somebody else's physical environment and their needs is your spiritual goal. And when you're in it for the spiritual goal, you have to look much broader. You can't just look at very specific and closed and focused things like learning before davening, which is very, very important. More than that, you have to be seeing, well, who's around me and how does this affect other people? How can I inspire them instead of trampling on them?
I heard a story, I think it was from Rabbi Schreier. You'll give me the details about somebody who was, I think, going to Minyan every day, and then something came up, there was a conflict. I don't remember what, they had to be with a parent, something, and they weren't sure, should I go help my sick parent, whatever the details were, or I should go to Minyan. And the rabbi told him, you should go be with your parent. He said, but I haven't missed Minyan in 10 years. And the rabbi told him, we don't believe in streaks. It's not a sports team. Every decision you have to really weigh out and balance and decide what's the right decision in this situation. Correct those details, right?
Good enough. So okay. You get the point.
Right. So we're saying that overall, the message over here is one of balance and not only focusing on the thing that is most that you get the most value out of, the most elevation, inspiration, connection to, but when there's a job that needs to be done, as Ovdei Hashem, we don't get to say, though, you know, that's not what we want to do. We don't get to say that we'll do tzedakah, we're not going to do tefillah, we'll do, you know, we keep Arachayim, we don't keep Yoredeya. No, you have to do everything. The Shulchan Aruch wrote four volumes because you thought they were all important. And we need to have that. Hashem had multiple kelim in the Mishkan. He had the altar, and he had the table, and he had the menorah, and he had the ark. The ark was one of them. Some people get to carry the ark. You know, there's a practice in the RJC that after Yontif, after Sukkot and Pesach, the rabbi gets Galila on the second Sefer Torah, on the last day of Yontif. So it's the last day of Yontif, the last honor of the day, which is wrapping of the Torah. And wrapping of the Torah is like not meant to be, it's not a huge cover. Like a lot of places they give this to kids. But it's given to the rabbi on the last day of Yontif. And the reason is to show that everything matters. Everything matters, and everybody can be part of it. I remind you of a story I just heard. One of my mentors, it was right, David Kamenetsky, Zichron Levracha. It's his yard site, I think, I don't remember. It's around this time. It's his first yard site. And I just heard a story about him that he was the director of a camp, probably in the 80s. And they were having a Mlava Malka, and there was an issue with Mlava Malka that they didn't have anybody to sweep up after Mlava Malka. They would have to cancel it, or they'd have to juggle some things to the staff. And Mary Knopsky is like, no, it's not a big deal. Like, I'll sweep up the dining room after Mlam Malka. Like, it won't be a problem. And he was the director of the camp. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Mlam Malka was over. Mary Kamenetsky swept up himself. Why? Because if the job has to get done, so it doesn't matter so much who does it. If you're doing it l'shem boro, if you're doing it for Hashem, so then it doesn't matter exactly what it is. I'm doing it for a higher purpose.
I remember last year, right after he passed away, a lot of stories were being told, and like people said, like all around camp, he always used to be walking around and just bending down and picking up garbage. Like people think that, like, oh, this, I didn't throw it there, I don't have to pick it up. He was like, no, it's there. Someone has to clean it up, so it might as well be me.
Right, and you know what he was actually doing? He wasn't just picking up the garbage. He was teaching us. Like, that story is probably before I was born, and we're still talking about it. And he's teaching us that this is what you do when you pass garbage. You pick it up.
It's also, it can be a good message if you're doing like a fundraiser. You talk about, you don't have to be the one who donates the biggest thing in the shul. The person who donates every little thing matters. Every little person, every person in shul who does something to participate, to do something to help.
Right. We all want 100% participation.
So what can we do to develop this drasha further? I mean, we've just given a lot of examples. So we can think of a lot of examples of this idea, and that's great. It's certainly something relevant to people's lives, but is there a way to take it to the next level?
I mean, I think where this drasha needs development in is the medrash itself. Sometimes you have a medrash that is itself very compelling and nuanced. I think this one is like that, but it needs to be presented in that way. Starting like Rav Shraya, like you started with the pasuk itself, that what does it mean that there's a danger for the Leviim? And the Medrash says, well, the danger for Leviim is caused by their disregard for the broader vision. And I think that focusing on the Medrash, the reading of the Medrash here, is critical to show that there's like a richness over here. Like you showed, like you start with the, we're in between Sefer Vayikra about the Mishkan and Parshas Naso that talks about the carrying, and how the Medrash is reading this in that broader context, because you don't want to like simplify it, and it sounds like simplistic. Just that the Medrash is just saying you have to take a broad view. The Medrash is reading very carefully into this pasuk. So you have the Medrash, you have the story from the Torah about the Leviim, you have the elaboration of the Medrash and the interpretation. But I think we have to focus on that point also. What you were suggesting, Rabbi Shraya, what we were developing, is really not explicit in the Medrash itself. The Medrash says that they practice kalas rosh, literally lightheadedness or frivolity towards the other kalim, right, towards the other utensils of the Mishkan. So you're saying that they were just left on the side, like the Medrash indicates.
I thought that actually that image was like powerful, just like, you know, seeing the different stations of the Kalim set up, and then like 100 Leviim coming and running, and all of them run to one station.
Right.
It's like, not that the Mizbeach or the Menorah have feelings, but just like they're left there with like literally nobody.
Right, right. That's an image that's very useful. And you could also add that there's a very big difference between carrying, let's say, the menorah and carrying, or let's say, carrying the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was very, very heavy. And carrying the Aron, because the Medrash tells us in other places that the menorah, the Aron carried itself. The four people who were standing around the Aron, they put it on their shoulders, but there was this miracle that the Ark, rose by itself and floated on its own. That's not true about the other kelim. So if you were carrying the altar, the Mizbeach, you're actually doing some work there. You're actually carrying it. Everybody's running for the easy thing with the most schar. You know, it's like a get-rich-quick scheme. Go run to the ark and carry the ark, and like that's going to get you where you need to be. And they're skipping all the hard work. So I think that's also part of it, that hard work and being outside of the spotlight, not carrying the most central part of the ark itself, I think that's very important. And what that tells us is that it's not about us. It's not about our
benefit. It's not about just what we can get out of it. But real value and true altruism is about what we give to, in this case, Hashem, and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, what we give to other people. And not just how it makes us look and how it makes us feel. As you know, this reminds me of a... there's something in the 21st century called virtue signaling. Virtue signaling means that there's, let's say you have a cause on Facebook, you know, support the poor of some country. And like, you share that on Facebook. So it costs you nothing to share it on Facebook. And it promotes the concept. So if the only way you're involved is by sharing on Facebook, but like, that's a, you don't donate. So the organization is glad that you shared their information. Hopefully somebody else will donate. But like, you're just signaling the virtue. Like, publicly, I show, I think this is important. But are you actually in there? Are you really helping people? Are you giving of your time, giving of your money, giving of your energy? It's very nice to go carry the aron. But like, are you really in it for the values that it speaks of? How could we apply this to our lives? Something that's going to happen, you know, to every day to us, every week. How do we apply it? Where does this manifest itself?
I think the most practical way is when it comes to other people, is like that broadened view of, I think you quoted Rishala Salanter, that other people's physicality is our spirituality. It's something that people don't really think about. We sometimes think, well, you know, I have to serve Hashem in my way of serving Hashem, and your rush or your physical need is not my worry. And I was telling a story before. I'm reminded of the story of I once pulled in. I was speaking somewhere, and I finished my speech, and as I was pulling out, someone else pulled in for Marv and was blocking me in. I was thinking, like, okay, so I got out of the car and I said, like, excuse me, sir, but you're blocking me in. He's like, oh, well, sorry, I have to go daven Marv, and he ran in. And then I was sitting in the car for 15 minutes while he davened Marv.
That's pretty frustrating.
So, like, I was just, like, experience, like, that's probably how the menorah felt. That's how the Mizbeach felt.
And it's so ironic, because the Arizal says that before you daven, you're supposed to be mekabel, to fulfill the mitzvah of ahavta rech kamocha, to love everybody else like yourself. It's so ironic that whoever this person was just blocked you in, and kind of disregarded v'haftar le'echa kamocha right before tefillah, which is supposed to be based on v'haftar le'echa kamocha.
But at that same, like, you understand where that person's coming from. Like, at least at first glance, like, he's davening right now. So, like, yeah, you're important, but, like, I have to daven right now. But, like, when you take that broader image, you see how, like, mistaken that could be.
That's a great story.
So this is, we've talked about this technique in the past, not in the podcast. Like, you tell a story like that, everybody's like, phew, like, that's not me. Like, I would never do that.
Right.
So then there has to be, like, a step two where then you make it very relevant. Like, then an example that, like...
Right, you can start with that story. You can't finish with that story. Because that's not applicable. Most people will move their car if you ask them. There was an extreme case. Maybe it was a yard site. Maybe it was, who knows what. Maybe it was pluck
nefesh. I'm sure there was a perfect...
There are a lot of good reasons for that one. We just don't know them. So you could start with that story because, like, it gets people in and people are buy into it, and then go into the Medrash and how we have to be focused on doing the right thing for the right reasons. But you still need an application.
Right. Like, that story, that's an extreme example, but how about, like, when the light turns green and you make that left turn before the guys get a chance to go straight? You're saying what I have to do is more important than, I don't even know where you have to go, but... I'm sure that what I have to do is more important.
Or like blocking the box is even worse. Right?
Yeah, at the intersection.
Right.
We don't do that in Chicago where I'm from. That's a New York special.
But I think even that small example of that Kamenetsky that you gave of like picking up the garbage is something that's very relevant to everybody. Mm-hmm. And maybe is obvious in theory, but in practice isn't always done. Like, we see garbage on the floor.
Right. Because we're all in this, there's a much broader and bigger program going on. We're all part of that program, and you have to plug in however you can. Sometimes that means picking up the garbage. Sometimes that means helping arrange the chairs, whatever it is. Yeah, and like in a family, like you have a family that's living together, so, you know, some people get to you know, cook the food, but some people have to clean up the dishes. Like, and it all has to get done. You can't skip any of the parts. I say that despite the fact that I don't like to clean dishes. But, like, I still know it has to get done. And I do my best to clean those dishes.
You're doing a great job.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you. Big shout out to my wife, Shoshana, who tolerates me very well. So, Reshua, why don't you put this together as a drasha? I think you do a great job of this. So you'll have your three parts, and let's see what comes out as that last application manifestation, something that's really great and nuanced.
So I was once giving a shiur somewhere. After the shiur, I got into the car, put the car in reverse, was ready to pull out, and I see someone pulls up right behind me to park and blocks me in. So I gently step out of my car and I say, excuse me, sir, I'm trying to pull out. Do you mind just pulling out first so I can get out and then you can go back in? He's like, sorry, no, Marav starts in 1 minute. I got to go in. And he runs in and I'm stuck there now for the next, I don't know, depending which place it was, 8 to 12 minutes for Marav. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking and I'm just like getting more frustrated as the minutes tick on. Like, is this guy serious? Like I was nothing. I'm like, it's all about Marav. And he ran in. We read this week Parshas Bamidbar, and the pasuk says, "Al tachritzu eshevet mishpachosat yasim mitochal v'yim." Don't cause the Levim to be cut out, to be destroyed from the people of Israel. And the Medrash asks, "What's going on here? What's the concern? Why will the Levim be cut out?" And the Medrash tells us the backstory. We're stuck here in between the story at the end of Sefer Shmos, the building of the Mishkan, and the beginning of the next week's Parsha, Parshas Naso, the jobs the different Levim get. And the first day, when Moshe started to teach everyone what the roles of the Mishkan, how they're going to travel, how they're going to take apart and travel with the Mishkan, he says, okay, the Levim, you guys have the Kelim. And the Medrash paints a picture for us. It says that the different Kelim, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, the Aron, the Shulchan, were all stationed out and ready to be picked up. And Moshe said, okay, Levim, go. Pick up the Kelim, we're ready to travel. And all the Levim make a beeline straight for the Aron. They go straight to the Aron and they all grab hold of the Aron and they're fighting who should get the Aron, because the Aron is the most reward, the holiest of all the Kelim, the house of the Torah. Who wouldn't want to hold the Aron? So they all go running to the Aron, and the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, were all like me, sitting in the car, feeling all alone, stuck. Nobody there to help out. I think the message that this is teaching us is that we have to sometimes take a broader picture. We have to realize that, yes, the Aron is the most exciting, and maybe it's even the least amount of work. It's the easiest job to do. But we have to be willing to do, willing to sacrifice, willing to put ourselves out to try and take that broader picture, see that we're not the only people. There are other people out there. Other people's physicality is our spirituality. We have to always be concerned. We can't just pass along the message on Facebook of a good cause, something that we think about, something that we enjoy, something that we think is worthwhile. We have to pass it along, yes, but we also have to click the donate button, even if it's just $1 or $2. That can make a difference if every single person, if we realize that we're part of a greater team, if the running back does his job and runs with the ball, the quarterback keeps to his job, the offensive lineman keeps with his job to block, and everyone can do their job. And the story is told, because it's his yard site, I'll share it, and I think it's a lesson that we could all take to heart. It's as we're leaving shul, and we're walking to the kiddush, and you see a tissue on the floor, a child dropped a lollipop, and it's sitting on the floor, we might think, just leave it, someone else will get it. There's a janitor, it's his job, he'll pick it up. The custodian will get it. We have to remember that even those jobs that are less desirable, the washing the dishes, the picking up the floor, the cleaning the floor, if it's something that's so simple that we could do, we should take it to heart and make sure that the menorah is not left there, the garbage isn't sitting on the floor. Al tachrisu es shevet mishpachosa kasi. Don't cause the Levim ourselves to be cut down. We should be part of the team, part of Klal Yisrael, helping make sure that all of our obligations are fulfilled.
That's excellent. Chag Sameach, everybody.